This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good Lord.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I am Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We got a lot to get to in this hour, but it is a big day here on the network. The NFL betting guide is out. So again, a couple deals out there. If you want to just dip your toe in, $9.99 for an introductory offer for this month, or $175 whole kit and caboodle all the way through the Super Bowl next February. I'd advise that one. Zachary Cohen does a great job here at VSiN.com as our senior editor. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X, up betting on X. Also going to talk a lot of basketball. He's the host of Hardwood Handicappers. We'll get to the NBA draft here in just one second. But with this betting guide being out here, Zach, this morning, it does feel like Christmas Day for some of us in June. You had a couple write-ups in there as well, including, dare I say, the most important division in the entire NFL. That'd be the NFC East. Zach, can you give the people a little primer for what you have in that betting guide?
Yeah, so I'm lockstep with Dave Ross here. I do really like the Cowboys this season. I think that I'm a guy that generally likes to avoid the teams that enter the season with a lot of hype, and I feel like there's really unavoidable scenarios where the Cowboys enter the season with hype. But I do think this year, some of it's warranted. I just feel like that offense last season was pretty clearly a top five offense in the league, and they enter this year with pretty much every single player back. And you look at the defensive side of the ball, there were some changes, but I do think that they got a lot better. I think that adding Rashawn Gary was absolutely huge in terms of just adding some talent and size along that defensive line. And I do have Caleb Downs as defensive rookie of the year. So I think he's going to make an immediate impact for the Cowboys and be very close to being a star right from the second he touches the field. I know that the safety position isn't valued as much as it used to be in the draft, which is why you didn't see Downs go in that top five. But in terms of just production, he was all world in college at two different spots. And I just feel like his skill set's going to mesh really, really well in the NFL.
Z, I know it's a correlated play also, as you wrote up some most valuable player bets, and no surprise, a heavy focus on the quarterbacks there. I'll let people become subscribers to read it, because I think your angles, specifically for a couple of the longer odd shots, are really intriguing, and I like where your head's at with a couple of those write-ups. So again, $9.99 to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, get instant access. You did do a worst-to-first look at some of the teams that might have the opportunity to, quote-unquote, be last year's Bears or Patriots. Some of the rationale, if you can kind of peel back the curtain as to what you looked at year over year that really narrowed the field and maybe got you home on a couple of those options.
Yeah, so we surprisingly went like 4-for-4 in that article last year with all four of the teams I wrote up going on to win their division. I'm not sure we're going to actually see that happen again this year, but I do think that it is kind of easy to pick out the teams that are going to be a lot better the next season, whether that's a coaching change, a complete influx of talent, building on the strong end of season from the year before. And there were reasons for all of those to lead into the teams that I picked in this year's guide. And I'd say the one that I am highest on, it is the Saints. I feel like they are in the most winnable division in the entire NFL. Last year, they ended the season very, very strong. I think defensively, they played great down the stretch. And then on offense, it's year two of Tyler Shuck, who I think played a lot better than people expected as a rookie last season. He's a little bit older, I know that, but I think that he's going to be someone that can still improve because he was so just talented in college and had a really rough go at it with injuries. I think he's going to continue to get better, but that team added a lot of talent on offense, whether it's Jordan Tyson at the wide receiver position, who was my number one wide receiver in that draft, or Travis Achane, the talented running back from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who is just another player that's going to be able to make plays for them out of the backfield. I think that offense is ready to take a real step forward under Kellen Moore. And if the defense kind of continues to play the way it did last season, I think 9 or 10 wins is possible in that division.
Yeah, I thought Kellen Moore did a really good job in year number one, coming over there after winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles as the offensive coordinator. Really good year number one. So I think a good reason to have high hopes in New Orleans this year. High hopes for the NBA draft. We know that's going to begin tomorrow. And the betting market says that it's going to be A.J. DeBonza number one. He's over a $4 betting favorite to go number one off the board tomorrow. You're the host of Hardwood Handicappers here in the network. Please listen, subscribe to that pod as well. Are we going to get chaos at number one, or do the betting markets have this one correct?
I think it's going to be DeBonza number one. I mean, I wish I actually had sources and could tell you with 100% certainty, but I do think that DeBonza is just the safest pick that they can make at number one. I mean, I do think that they should be considering Cam Boozer, but by all accounts, it doesn't sound like that's happening. So it sounds like it's between DeBonza and Peterson, and I feel like Washington kind of needs to make the DeBonza pick. So we'll see. I think if there's chaos, like in terms of something really crazy happening that we're not expecting, it probably starts at number two, where, you know, Utah does have Cam Boozer's dad, Carlos Boozer, in the front office. And, you know, passing on him would probably be very, very difficult for that group of decision makers, just in terms of, you know, showing respect to Carlos. But I do think it's going to be chalky, those first four picks. So I am expecting it to be DeBonza, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson as the top four.
Okay, and I know that it's going to be weird to look and see maybe 10 potential freshmen in the top 10 picks, but we might be in store for that, as all the diaper dandies could be going here up top. Let's zoom out just a little bit, Zach, and for what you can glean, I know there's a lot of rumors over the weekend, a lot of talk about where ultimately Giannis Antetokounmpo could go. I saw some movement in the futures market with the Miami Heat coming down to win next year's NBA title. Not sure if we're connecting dots there or not, but your latest feel on the Giannis market, and will we have a move before tomorrow, or is this kind of something that we'll evaluate as the week kind of progresses on?
I think we're going to see the trade happen at some point today. I do think it's going to ultimately be Miami. I was watching Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe last night, and Simmons seemed pretty convinced it's still going to be the Boston Celtics. So who knows what happens there, but I think Miami just has the easiest offer for Milwaukee to accept, even if it's not the greatest offer in the world. There are some really solid assets in there. And if you do flip Tyler Hero to Detroit in that deal, I think it makes things, you know, make a lot more sense for Milwaukee, because you get like a player like Ron Holland along with Khalil Ware. And all of a sudden you're talking about two kind of really good young prospects and a boatload of picks. So I think the Heat thing's going to end up happening. I think it's going to happen at some point today, because I think if Milwaukee, you know, wants to actually rebuild this thing the right way, you want to have a couple of draft picks in this draft where you would probably pick up that number 13 pick from Miami. And I think that this is a draft that's really, really good up until you get to pick 20 or so. So I think it is going to be Giannis to Miami. And honestly, I am higher on the Heat's kind of roster construction post-trade than I think other people are, because I feel like there's still a little bit left there in terms of just solid rotation pieces. Like, you play Giannis next to Bam, obviously. Those are the two that you're trying to build around. But then you still have Andrew Wiggins. You still have Norm Powell. Pelly Larson's a really good role player. Davion Mitchell's a solid player. Like, you're probably looking at needing another two rotation pieces, but I think it's easy to entice players to come to South Beach and play for a potential contender. So I think that team's going to be really good if they do end up getting Giannis.
Now, Zach, there is some movement there to that end. I'm seeing 35-1s at DraftKings, 30-1 on Miami here at Circa. And I did see that Shams Charania, and I know Shams, he's not going to put this out there unless he knows something. He says that trade will happen before the draft tomorrow night. Is that intel that we think is actionable on Miami? Would you take a stab at those numbers, whether it's for the East at 13-1, 35-1 to win the NBA title? Do you think that that's solid enough? Because if they don't make that trade and you make that bet, I think you're sitting on a dead hand there. Would you be willing to make that type of play on that type of information?
I think I would. I wouldn't go crazy with it, but you are right. If they don't, you know, get Giannis and they are left at the team that they had last season, it's a completely dead play. So there is a risk in it, which is why I'd go a little bit lighter. But I do think at the current number, that is a really good value when you kind of look at the Eastern Conference and what it looked like last season. Like, I know that the Knicks now look like, you know, an unbelievable basketball team, and they definitely enter next season as the team to beat. Like, they've absolutely earned that right. But I think that other teams are going to feel like they can beat that team in a postseason series, just because they weren't that great during the regular season last year. Like, they found something in the postseason and they rode a magical run to an NBA championship. But I don't think teams view them as unbeatable, which is why I think you're going to see all of the Eastern Conference teams being very aggressive this summer. So I think Miami's kind of right there in that like second tier of teams with Giannis, and I think it's a good value where it is.
Fantastic. One other question for you on the draft tomorrow. Anything else from an actionable angle, whether it be exact pick, maybe a guy's over under as far as where he'd be selected, things that we would be looking for an opportunity to invest in before tomorrow night?
Yeah, so the one that I've kind of given out, and the numbers moved a little bit, but I don't think it's moved enough, is Nate Amat under 10.5. I feel like that's going to be one of the players you see selected by the Milwaukee Bucks. There's just a ton of smoke that he will not make it past them at number 10, and there is some interest in Amat to go number 6 to the Brooklyn Nets. So I feel like 10.5 is a really good number. If you have to lay some juice, I'd say to go for it. The other one that I think is really interesting is Adai Mara, the Michigan center. His over-under is now 9.5. I'd still go under on that. I feel like 7'3", really good shot blocker, you know, strong offensive rebounder, and somebody that in kind of workouts has really impressed scouts, like with his ability to shoot the three ball. I'd be surprised if that type of player drops, especially if you kind of look at this year's draft, 1 through 10, like there are so many guards, but there's also a lot of guards 10 through 20. So I feel like that's a position that you could maybe pick up a little bit later in the draft by trading back in or something, whereas Mara's not a guy you can really replicate later in that first round. I think that his value is top 10.
20 seconds. If you are going to bet the Heat at 35 to win the NBA title or Serena Williams to win Wimbledon, she's also 35 to 1. She's going to be in the draw next week. Which number would you rather play?
I'd take the Heat. I think the Serena thing reeks of Phillip Rivers.
Yes, it does.
I can't wait to see Serena out there next week at Wimbledon. Zach, you're the best. We appreciate the time. As always, going to talk some Major League Baseball, the Daily Diamond. It's coming up next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Week 2 of VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Going to have the King of Connecticut, Will Hill, join us a little bit later on in this program. Our best bets are straight up as well. Great conversation with Zach Cohen about the NBA draft. Even snuck in a little Wimbledon. Of course, that NFL betting guide is out. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. You can listen to the show on your own time. But Jensen, let's get to it. We love talking about it each and every day. It's time for our daily dose of the Daily Diamond. On the slate today, I was pleased with the Royals over the weekend. Took 2 out of 3, almost had a miracle comeback yesterday against the Cardinals. Stalled out in that ninth inning, but did, again, take 2 out of 3. They're going to take on the Rays. Where are you on Tampa these days? Because I feel like they've been scuffling. Not to say they're an afterthought now with the Yankees in the AL East, but maybe a key division, excuse me, a key three-game set that begins today down there in Tampa.
Always good when you get your ace back on the bump at home, and that'll be Drew Rasmussen going up against Michael Wacha at 6:40 Eastern there from the Trop. The Rays have been an absolute wagon as a home favorite, Dave. 17-5 straight up there. That is the best mark in the American League. Kansas City is a road underdog underwater at 7-11. I got a little aggressive here because I did not want to lay the $1.85 money line price for Tampa. So I did an alternate run line minus one at minus $1.21. Again, Tampa has been so dominant there at Tropicana Field. I think we continue to back one of the strongest trends so far in Major League Baseball. To that end, too, Dave, we were just talking to Miami Marlins earlier in the show. It bears repeating a short home favorite price against the Texas Rangers. Yeah, give me some of that action. Miami is 17-6 straight up as a home favorite. That is the second best mark in the National League. Pair that with the Rangers, who have really struggled as road underdogs, 6-11 straight up on that mark. The pitching matchup is actually pretty decent. It is Kumar Rocker against Tyler Phillips, but Phillips at home has been a great spot to back the Marlins there at Lone Depot Park. And so I like Miami at a very short money line price. I found them minus $1.15 on Novik. So again, shop around for your best price. One other $1.15 price, and I hate to go against your Mets again, but we're going to have to do it just because it's the pitching matchup, Dave, that I think is pretty one-sided here. Cubs, a short road favorite tonight at Citi Field. Minus $1.15 was the money line price I got for them. Shota Imanaga will be on the bump for them. Back-to-back starts where he has looked really, really good. Only one earned run allowed in his last 10 2/3. You combine that with the Mets, who are going to run out your favorite, Kodai Senga. Dating back to April 11th, it is four consecutive starts for Kodai Senga that the Mets have lost. So I'm not going to look for anything to change there tonight in the series opener. Cubs actually look like they're starting to turn it around offensively. Pico Armstrong has been absolutely unbelievable. So again, another advantageous short money line price here, backing the Cubs as a road favorite. Let's take them on the money line, minus $1.15 in Citi Field to beat the Mets tonight.
Gonna have Will Hill on a little bit later on. I was on with Will on his podcast, the Should Have Bet More podcast, last week. He asked me about the Mets and if there's any numbers I could get involved with, and I said no, because they're rolling out David Peterson and Kodai Senga twice a week. And you saw it last night with Peterson against the Phillies, and you get Senga rolling out there again today. So until that changes, Jensen, I can understand. I'm a little bit surprised the Cubs are that short a favorite today at just a minus $1.20 price tag. Phillies, it's been fantastic for the Phillies here ever since the managerial change. They're going to go to the nation's capital to take on the Nats. It feels like a trend that continues. I don't know that we want to buck it. Are we looking at another over involving the boys in D.C.?
No doubt about it, my friend. Foster Griffin on the mound against for the Washington Nationals. Still to be decided here who Philly is going to run out there. Remember, they were at Sunday Night Baseball last night, a comfortable win over the Mets. So I don't think it will matter to me whoever they run out there. You mentioned the trend has been one of the most profitable in all of big league baseball this year. Nationals as a home team, just bet the over. Best mark in baseball to the over, 26-10-2. I think they continue it tonight. And remember, Dave, this is a Washington Nationals team that leads the league in scoring. That is the number one scoring offense in all of baseball, even this far into the season. That is still crazy to kind of wrap your head around. They are top five in OPS, top six in home runs. And I think whoever Philly runs out there tonight, it's not going to matter. Conversely, when you look at where the Phillies have been under Don Mattingly, it has been much better offensively. They have trended up. And right now you're getting two guys that are absolutely scorching hot in Kyle Schwarber and in Bryce Harper. The last week, Schwarber has been the number five power-ranked position player, according to Fangraphs. Throw in Alec Bohm, who is also top 25, along with Bryce Harper in that category. And you've got three of the top five hitters in the Philly offense that are absolutely posterizing pitchers to this point. So over 10, minus $1.25. I think DraftKings still has an over 10 at minus $1.15, maybe even minus $1.10. But either way, I think we get a boatload of scoring there at Nats Park tonight.
So if we're to get all the scoring there in D.C., I wonder if it's going to be a little bit more hard to come by here in the Lou with the D-backs coming in here against St. Louis. Jensen, are we attacking another total, but maybe the opposite way of what we're doing in D.C.?
I think so. Let's go the under here at Busch Stadium tonight. That's Merrill Kelly, Andre Pallante. 8.5, I found it even money at Novig, so I'm going to take the under 8.5. A lot of this backing Andre Pallante, who's going for the Cardinals tonight, Dave. Last three starts for him, a 2.41 ERA, but two earned runs or fewer in all three of those starts. You look at where Arizona on the road has actually been pretty decent as far as being able to have some run prevention. But I'm also looking at a lineup that outside of Corbin Carroll has really struggled mightily these last 7 to 10 days. So I think we get kind of a good combination here, even though the heat, the humidity is starting to creep in, and usually we'll see balls travel a bit more there. But at night, we might get a little reprieve, and we'll bank a bit more on Palante continuing what has been a great three-start stretch here. Under 8.5 at even money here between Arizona and St. Louis tonight.
I know you don't have an official play, but I want to discuss this Yankees and Tigers matchup. It's going to be Gerrit Cole on the bump here for the Pinstripers taking on Framber Valdez. Right now, Yankees about $1.31 in the marketplace. Comeback on Framber is $1.09. Total sitting at 8.5. And I'm a little surprised by that. I thought it might be an 8, maybe even a 7.5 out there. There are some 8s that are starting to populate, but I do still see 8.5 right now here. What do you make of that total today with an ace and maybe what we thought was going to be a fake ace potentially in Framber Valdez?
Yeah, already seeing movement, right? Up from 8 to 8.5, Dave. That's kind of the consensus I'm seeing, and I would agree with the market move here. I'm actually shocked that Gerrit Cole is this short of a road favorite. This is a money line that I could certainly get behind tonight. First game on the slate here, and for what the right-handed bats will have an opportunity to do against Framber Valdez, even with the Tigers kind of getting things right in a series sweep against the White Sox, this is probably not the arm that you think they can continue it against. Really, Dylan Dingler and Kevin McGonigal have been the lone offensive weapons that have helped Detroit here in the last week or so. Cole Keith has been okay, but outside of that, still some issues with run scoring. On the Yankee side, Dave, I'd kind of look more so at what we've seen from the top. Ben Rice has been phenomenal. Cody Bellinger, all the same. And then Paul Goldschmidt has been a revelation here for the last week. It's starting to channel the days of old. So the top three of the four in that Yankee offense have really been carrying most of the weight. I would look towards an over tonight, Dave. That would be of my leans in this contest. That would be my strongest. If you can find an 8 out there, I believe Bet Rivers still has one. Caesars has an 8. You can kind of shop around and see if there's ones that will be able to be advantageous. I would much rather an 8. I think I'm still okay with an 8.5, but I think we'll get some runs against Framber Valdez from the Yankee offense tonight.
Let me ask you about another intriguing pitching matchup, and these are 7.5s that we're seeing out there north of the border. Our friends in the 6 of Toronto, Dylan Cease against Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown making his 4th start of the year coming off injury here. He looks good, Jensen. He's looked like Hunter Brown here so far this year. What do we make of that? And again, we're seeing a small favorite to Cease and the Jays at $1.26, but again, runs could be at a premium tonight.
Yeah, just kind of looking at where some of the money and the splits are. Dave, this is kind of wild. 82% of money, 86% of bets on the over. And I have seen it tick up to 7.5 right now. A 7 still available at Bet Rivers. I think that's really one of the only places I'm seeing because everyone else is up to 7.5. So kind of a monsoon of money there to the over. As far as the side tonight, I think you might be able to be sneaky grabbing the Astros at a shorter underdog price. Again, Hunter Brown getting back the best they've got. So that might be a spot to attack there where Houston just coming off a series win at home against the Cleveland Guardians. Mm-hmm. No official play there, but I would say the value with Hunter Brown and getting a plus price on Houston might be the play there in that one.
You know, I've been itching to dive in on the Astros and I haven't done it. And part of the reason why I wanted to get back in is knowing Hunter Brown would be back. But I just wonder what they're going to do before the trade deadline. If you told me that Yordan Alvarez, who's already got, 25 bombs this year, is going to be there for the long haul, then I'd go in, Jensen. But I can't do that until I know what team, what direction, and what this team's going to look like after the trade deadline. We're going to have the King of Connecticut, Will Hill. He's got some very intriguing plays also in that NFL betting guide. That's up next right here. Beeson by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now. So whether you're betting futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Roy Rookie of the Year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before those training camps even begin. So inside the guide, you're going to get breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from our experts, future analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the entirety of the Super Bowl, which is in next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. If you listen to the show that preceded us today on the network, it was the Should Have Bet More podcast with the one and only Will Hill, the King of Connecticut, joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill. And Will, right off the bat, now that we've got the betting guide out and it feels like Christmas in June, you've got a pick that you have in the guide, and I know we want people to read it, but in the AFC East, what do you like there? Because I think people might be looking at the Patriots and saying, hey, they went to the Super Bowl last year. They got to win this division this year. What say you in the AFC East?
Yeah, I like the Bills, and I have a feeling this is going to be a popular one, and with people looking to fade the Patriots with all the Vrabel stuff, the Super Bowl hangover, with how easy their schedule was last year and how hard it is this year. I mean, there's different ways to play it. You could play Patriots under their win total. You could play Patriots to miss the playoffs, but you could also just say, you know what, I don't think that the Patriots are going to get to the 10 wins you need to win the division. And the Bills, I mean, say what you want about Allen and them coming up short in the playoffs. They're always good for, you know, 10, 11 plus wins as long as Allen is healthy. And Allen, you know, knock on wood, is always healthy. So to me, that's a pretty cheap price at minus 125. That's pretty playable for the Bills. I think it's going to be a popular one. It is one I like there. Bills minus 125, AFC East champs.
20 of the 23 analysts, experts that submitted picks for this NFL betting guide selecting the Bills. I, one of the three that went with Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. The disrespect, people. Ooh. Come on. They'll find a way to get through. Hey, week four, we get Bills Patriots, and that will be great to see. What's great to see, too, is I know you were invested also in one of the other Coach of the Year award markets. And I got to say, when I looked at the number, I'm like, no way. This guy at this long of a number, that's not possible. If you want to give away a little bit of a look behind the curtain in this write-up for you, what do you have in Coach of the Year market?
Yeah, I took a shot on Sean McVay at 40-1. Now, I understand this is not the typical criteria for who wins this award. Usually you win this award by overachieving modest expectations. It's very hard to overachieve the expectations the Rams have. We all think they're the best team in the league. But there's also another path to win this award, and that's just sheer dominance. Harbaugh in 2019, John Harbaugh won this award. He went 14-2 with the Ravens. They made the playoffs the year before, but they just had such a good year. There wasn't really that out-of-nowhere sleeper team. Harbaugh wins the award. 07, Belichick with the Patriots. They go undefeated. Belichick wins the award. So is it possible the Rams are just so good, so dominant, we don't really get that sleeper team, and the Rams are, you know, 15-2 or 16-1, and people just say, you know what, we got to give McVay his flowers here. He's the coach of the year. He's the best coach. I like that path. I think that's possible. I like the 40-1 price tag. Plus, there's always a possibility Stafford, who's an older player, he's, you know, approaching 39 now. He's 38, 39 years old. What if he misses four games, six games, and then you have to win with a backup, and then McVay can go 3-1 with a backup, 4-2 with a backup. Then the narrative shifts to, oh, man, it's all McVay. He's, you know, he's the best coach. They're winning because of McVay. So there's different ways to get there. He's 40-1 for a reason. Probably wouldn't bet it at 15-1 or 20-1. I just think at 40-1 with how potentially dominant the Rams can be, I thought that number was just a little bit too long, and I think it's one worth taking a shot on.
Playing a number, I totally understand that rationale as well. And again, betting on the Bills with Joe Brady as a first-year head coach against Jensen and Mike Vrabel. Interesting choice there, but I'm also with the Bills at the small price point, but I think the coaching advantage, despite the offseason, still would reside in New England. This is an interesting bet that you have out here, because we just heard that Shams Charania said that he is expecting this trade, potential trade, for Giannis to go off before the draft tomorrow here in the NBA. It feels like we're down to two, Miami or Boston. Do you think there's a bet to be made here for Giannis, and where do you think he's actually going to end up?
I think he's going to the Celtics. I thought he's going to the Celtics the whole time. We got some news on Saturday that, you know, it's almost done. It's close. He's going to the Heat. But it's interesting about the reporting. First off, that's a couple days ago now. So if it's done and he's going to the Heat, you know, how come he's not on the Heat? It's basically been the same Heat offer for a year and a half that the Bucks haven't liked. Why would they like it now? And the guys reporting that are all like the C-level, D-level NBA guys. It's not to disparage anyone, but just, you know, it's the truth. It wasn't Windhorst. It wasn't Shams. It wasn't Chris Haynes. It's all these, you know, kind of lower tier guys saying, hey, it's done. He's going to Miami. While I just think it's Milwaukee kind of using Boston for leverage and saying, all right, let's float this out there that he's going to Miami. It's almost done. It's done, all this stuff. And let's try to light a fire under Boston and maybe get what we want, whether that's an extra pick, whether that's including Brown, which I don't think you can get this deal done without Brown, whatever the case may be. I just think Brown is the best chip of all this stuff. And that, you know, that Miami offer, I don't know if you guys saw that, but that's Jaime Jaquez and, you know, just Khalil Ware and the 13th pick, the 21st pick. It reminds me, I used to, you know, I grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, and callers would call up and be like, hey, can we get Roy Halladay for Melky Cabrera? I think that's a fair deal. I mean, this is not a fair deal. So I think eventually he's going to Boston. Plus, you know, the last thing on this too, him going to Miami, who's he going there to play with? It's him, Bam, and a bunch of like minimum guys, G League guys. That's not a title team. He's basically in the same spot he's in Milwaukee. I think if he goes to Boston, got a chance to win a championship, I just think that makes sense for all parties there. I think he's going to the Celtics.
I love it. A little Mike and the Mad Dog reference. So that's a perfect segue to get to one of your selections today. And ironically, would be with the Yankees and the Tigers. All right. Well, yeah, we got Cole on the mound. He's great. He's been awesome. He comes back. All they do is win. We got a little ace on ace action here with Framber Valdez, with the Tigers, and Gerrit Cole. I told Dave, I'm kind of shocked this money line is as short as it is in favor of the Yankees. That kind of got me there. What do you think on a total here? And will it be a first five you're looking to back with both these starters on the mound?
Yeah, that's a pretty good Mad Dog, by the way. I would give it B plus, A minus. That was pretty solid. I'm going under 4.5 in the first five, though. Anytime you give me 4.5, that's to me like a price point where you pull the trigger. So often these games after 5 or 3-1 or 2-2, that 4.5 is such a key number. And that half a run can often be the winning number. Cole, I know the xFIP hasn't been great, but the expected ERA, 2.5, the expected batting average under 200, not getting the swings and misses, but the fastball is averaging around 97. He's getting weak contact. I'm okay with Cole. Valdez has not been great this year. He's usually, you know, a strikeout ground ball guy. You're not really getting the strikeouts this year, but he still keeps the ball on the ground. The big lefty bats with Judge out, you know, the big bats for the Yankees now are Rice, Bellinger, Chisholm, all lefties. I think Valdez can keep those guys on the ground. So that 4.5, again, a key number. Like the two pitchers, I'll go, how about a 2-2 after five, and we cash this under 4.5.
Well, the oldest trick in the book, I never give out A's for a reason. I love the doggy impression from Jensen, but I'm going to give him a C+ so that he does it again, because I just want to hear it again. I thought it was fantastic, and then he works on it, and we get more doggy impressions on the show. That's the way you do that. You kind of milk it a little bit for the milkman, Melky Cabrera. What about the Twins and Dodgers today in the Twin Cities, and it's not one of the big guns on the mound here for the Dodgers, unless you consider Eric Lauer a big gun. Is there a play here that you like, maybe total-wise?
I'll go over 9.5. I don't play a ton of overs, but I'll play the over here. And like you said, if Eric Lauer is on the mound for the Dodgers in the postseason, something went horribly wrong. He's just kind of an innings eater, filling the gap kind of guy. He faced the Twins early in the season, got lit up 5 innings, 7 runs. If you've noticed, the Twins have swung the bats really well. They scored like 46 runs over the last 5 or 6 games. And they're putting up some runs. You figure the Dodgers against Zebby Matthews, they're going to get their runs. 9.5 to me is playable here with the over. I think we see some runs, some fireworks. So I will go over the 9.5 for this pitching matchup.
They're sneaky right now. Derek Shelton's got that crew kind of believing just a couple of games under 500. The gift that keeps on giving is the American League Central. No question about it. Okay, now with the I'll circle back to the NFL. Get your thoughts. If you've perused through it, I know you're kind of a big part of putting this together with all of our great analysts and experts. What do you think is the most what is the one part that you think stands out of whether it be a selection, whether it be an award market, something that really caught your eye in our NFL betting guide?
I think it's the one we talked about earlier with the Bills just being such a prevalent pick. And I remember last year that was viewed as, when it was minus 290, minus 300, kind of the free spot on the bingo card. And people were still playing it. People were using it parlays, and that didn't get home. So it's a little bit of deja vu with everyone picking the Bills. But I think fading the Patriots is going to be a popular one, a trendy one, with just going from such an easy schedule to such a hard schedule, the Vrabel stuff, the Super Bowl hangover. So that's one that kind of jumped out to me.
And the Vrabel stuff won't be an issue as long as they win. And then if they don't win, it'll be an issue. That's the way it works here with the media, certainly in the offseason. So it'll be very interesting to see if they get off on a good foot. It should be okay. If they don't, watch out. Those storylines will not stop, certainly in New England. Check out the Should Have Been More podcast. It's fantastic. Jensen and I love when we're on the show as well. Our best bets, they're coming up next right here. VSiN by the Books.
The Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Had a great conversation with Will Hill in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. And again, great to offers out there right now. $9.99 intro offer, $175 cover you all the way through the Super Bowl. You not only get that, you get the Daily Diamond every day, the podcast that Jensen and I do, breaking down Major League Baseball, and also First Strike out there available for you UFC MMA bettors out there. It's been very, very profitable here in the last few weeks. But Jensen, with that betting guide out, we'll get to some of those NFL topics here in a second. We did see one major bet that was out there in the World Cup that came to your attention via Red Rock. And this is not your run-of-the-mill ticket that we have on the reigning defendings. Let's show the people what it is. And Jensen, would you ever make a wager for $777,000 on the line?
Okay, so this is the first match in the World Cup today at 1 o'clock Eastern. Argentina on the money line laying, at least this price at Red Rock, 215. So a $777,000 money line. Whoa. Not a tie, no bet. It's a money line, and I wanted to go and see on DraftKings. You'd have to lay $7.5 for the tie, no bet. Well, this person's already laying $777. I mean, is it worth it, Dave? For you, I mean, they got to win, and here's where we are. This is a remarkable spot here to have that a little over $750,000. Argentina and Austria both won their first matches. So a draw here is still a great result for both teams. And we know what draws have been doing. They've been surfacing quite often here. You'd be up 28 units just blindly betting the draw in every match so far. I don't know about Dave. I would not be comfortable with it. That is the sweatiest 90 minutes to be able to do that. But again, it's $777,000 to win just a tick over $361,000. But you have to win. This isn't a tie, no bet. This is a win in Argentina over Austria. Again, Dave, if I'm looking at it, and now I wanted to just in earnest, I mean, you could definitely see the defensive organization of Austria and the counterattack being a real threat for them. And so if I were kind of going on where some actionable spots would be, if you're going to lay that kind of juice, I wouldn't even mind going on the other side, taking Austria for a goal and a half. The draw is plus 340. So, hey, all of a sudden, a little more keen interest in the first match, knowing that this station's casino, this better at Red Rock, was one to send that in. So what a sweat out west later on this morning, that's for sure.
You know, we had a great conversation with Anthony DeBundo. Please, again, like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books pod. You can hear it on your time. He mentioned, yeah, Messi was great, right? He gets the hat trick here in the first time out, but the rest of the team kind of, you know, maybe a little bit flat. That's a, to me, it's 90 minutes and injury time, and that's it. Man, that's sweaty for me. So, look, I'm rooting for, you know, it's funny. I saw it was posed out there on X. You know, if your bet can't win, are you rooting for other people? I am. I don't even know who this person is. I don't want to see anybody lose $777,000. I think what we try to do in the network, though, is say what is a good bet, what is a bad bet. That is a dangerous bet from where you and I sit. I can go back to the Sean Strickland fight when he was a massive underdog against Khamzat Chimaev. And even though I had people on the other side, I kept saying, man, this is nervy. I could only be dog or pass on this. I'm kind of with you. I could only be dog or pass on the Austria side. And I think you lay out good reasons why. So rooting for that, whether it's an individual or a conglomerate there, that's a lot of money that you're going to be sweating out here, $777,000. You and I will not have that much going out here in Major League Baseball today. There are some actionable plays that you see on the diamond today here, Jensen. And I understand why you'd be fading the Mets and Kodai Senga against Shota Imanaga and the Cubs. Imanaga has been pretty good last couple times out, not so good for the Senga side. Does that get you to the Cubs today?
Yeah, short money line price here is a road favorite, minus $1.15 for the Cubs. Shota Imanaga, as you said, will get the ball here for the Northsiders. One earned run allowed for the Cubs southpaw in his last 10 2/3. So back-to-back starts where he's created some momentum here. On the flip side, it's Kodai Senga getting the ball for the Mets. Yes, I know, just freshly back off the injured list, but the Mets have lost four consecutive starts by Senga dating all the way back to April 11th of this season. So I like the shorter price there. We'll take the Cubs with momentum. A couple other momentum plays and really great trendy spots. Tampa Bay is the best in the American League as a home favorite on the money line, 17-5. It is a pretty expensive home price there on the money line, upwards of $1.85. And so I played an alternate run line on minus one for the Rays at minus $1.21. They will take on Michael Wacha and the Kansas City Royals, who are 7-11 straight up as a road dog this year. Also backing a short money line price at home is where we want to go with the Miami Marlins. They are 17-6 as a home favorite straight up, second best mark in the National League in that category. They take on Kumar Rocker and the Texas Rangers, 6-11 Texas is as a road dog on the money line. So a couple of good spots for teams that usually dominate at home. The Marlins, Dave, at Lone Depot Park, 26 home wins this year. That is tied for the most in the National League with the LA Dodgers. Wild to say out loud, but that is the way the Marlins have been. They are winners of four straight, including a sweep over the weekend. So we'll see if that trend continues here later on tonight.
Hoping so. I hopped in on the Marlins here over the weekend at plus 750 to make the postseason. That number's down to plus 450. So good 3 days taking care of the Giants, but again, hoping they can keep that good vibes going here down in there in Florida as small home favorites here, minus $1.25 against the Rangers today. We mentioned the betting guide is out here. It really is a special day here in the network. We put a lot of work into this. I know each and every personality that's put in that time to write up in that betting guide. It's all out there for your perusal today. Jensen, you and I have picks out there. I really do like the Titans this year. This is one of my stronger plays, over 6.5 in the win total here. I'm going to play that adjusted win total over 7.5. I like to sprinkle a little bit on there on them to win the division at 8-1. I think this division could be more up for grabs than people think. So that is one of my favorite plays so far in the docket. And again, just kind of reiterate, I'm going to be betting on, I do this every year, I'm going to bet on coaches that I trust in congruency, if you will, with the quarterbacks. And I did this a couple years ago in Minnesota. Ironically, that was Sam Darnold back then. I did it, ironically, again last year with Sam Darnold in Seattle. So I can't keep following Sam wherever he goes. Now I'm looking at Cam Ward this year to be paired up. I think it's going to be a really good pairing, not only with Robert Saleh as a defensive-minded head coach, but certainly with Brian Daboll as the offensive coordinator. In that brain trust, I trust my dollar over 6.5 there, sprinkling 8-1. You've got an interesting price point that you like as well with the Ravens that we discussed earlier here in the program. Why do you like Jesse Minter in that group in year number one?
Yeah, I just think they're the most complete team in the division, and I would absolutely invest on a healthy Lamar Jackson this year, just knowing that Minter is going to bring, I think, or restore, I should say, the defensive consistency that we have really seen from Ravens teams in years past. I also like them far better than the Steelers. I just don't know if there is enough there on both sides of the ball for Pittsburgh to hang with Baltimore. And I know a lot of people, and it played out for those that want to get our NFL betting guide. It was basically a coin flip between the Bengals and the Ravens as far as our experts picking who will win the AFC North. This is a risk-reward play for me, Dave. I'm banking that Lamar Jackson is healthy. I'm banking that elite level of defensive consistency returns. And they've got a very favorable schedule to start out the year. So I think Baltimore, as long as you have those entities intact, then I think Lamar Jackson will return to an MVP-esque level, if not be in the running to win the award again later on this year.
And I think if you want to further that case, I'm oppo a little bit, but I understand the rationale with Jesse Minter. Yes, it's year one for Minter there in Baltimore, but this is a return to Charm City for Jesse Minter, former defensive coordinator there. Lamar Jackson was very, very happy with that hiring once John Harbaugh left. So it seems like they are going to be symbiotic from day one. So you saw him rejuvenated. It feels like for Lamar to bring back Jesse Minter into the fold. And you mentioned that defense. I think it's going to be a lot better there. He was there when they drafted Kyle Hamilton. I always look at him, the quarterback of that defense. It should be back to Ravens standards. So I understand that rationale there. Again, as you started to peruse that betting guide today, everybody out there, $175 will cover you through the Super Bowl next year in February. What sticks out to you here? And every day you and I will give out one of our plays that we have in that betting guide.
Yeah, all kinds of things, individual teams, three burning questions, if you will, of all 32. A great spot here also from John Hansen, of course, hosts Prop Points during the NFL season. He actually has upwards of 15 full season player props that are not only actionable in the betting market, but you might also use if you're a fantasy football player too, looking at your drafts and maybe some guys under the radar that could overachieve this year on that front. So a wealth of information. Shout out again to Adam Burke, the entire staff. It is gorgeous. 110 pages of glory, Dave. Woo. Enjoy it, use it, and most importantly, profit from it. We are excited and can't wait to break it down every single day moving forward.
VEASAN.com/subscribe. Get on that offer right now. Again, if you want more VEASAN, of course you do. If you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube TV, just go to VEASAN.com or the VEASAN Watch app. We've got Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They're coming up next.